praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Would you stand wherever you are and let's just keep praising the Lord. Let's just keep praising Him, Lord. We do. You're worthy. And thank you, oh God, for hearing every voice and hearing every word that we speak today. Thank you, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want Him. And I pray that that's always the case in my life, that I want Him. But this is the case. I need Him. I need Him. We're just weak and frail compared to His greatness, and really even many times compared to what we face in life, weak and frail. But with the Lord, because He is able, we are able. We are able. There's going to be two texts of scripture today, Psalm 55, first of all, and then from Luke 18:1. And while you are looking there on your device or in your Bible, however that is, thankful for those that are joining us online as well as the good, faithful people that are here in the building on Barracks View. We thank the Lord for a place to gather together and worship Him. Our theme for this year of 2021 is Be the Church. And Brother Cardin preached a message. We did not ask him to preach with that theme as it laid and was woven into the message from this morning, but it captured the theme of Be the Church. And where that theme, it had many originations, but last year especially, many times we questioned what should we do as individuals and as a church, and the answer is just be the church. Just be the church. And as the church, I'm going to preach about one of the things that makes us the church and helps us to be the church. This month we are in of January, United Pentecostal Church has called for 30 days of prayer. It began January 2nd yesterday and then throughout the month. And there are some pamphlets or brochures that you can pick up, and it gives guidance throughout the weeks of the month for some prayer focuses. And we can join together as His body all around the world. People all around the world are going to be joining in prayer. And then, of course, next week, beginning Sunday the 10th through the 16th, is our time of quarterly prayer and fasting as APC. Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. That's a good tagline right behind when we say, I'm going to pray. And the next line is, and God's going to help me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Notice how he bookends the day and then puts something in the middle. Evening, end. Morning, beginning. And then he said, I'm even going to insert it at noon. I'll pray, cry aloud, and again, he shall hear my voice. That's something that can get into our hearts and should get into our hearts and spirits. It's good to say, I'm going to pray, and it's really good to say, and he's going to hear me. And he's going to answer me. Luke 18:1, Jesus teaching, speaks a parable to those that were listening, and he was pointing to, and it was to this end, men ought always to pray. Humanity, humans always should pray and not to faint. In other words, to needlessly grow spiritually weak because of lack of prayer. We ought always to pray. We sure did pray in 2020. And we have in years past. And we should and we will in 2021. We ought always to pray. And so I preach this subject today, an old truth for a new year prayer. An old truth, and truth it is, for this new year of 2021, and that old truth is prayer. Aren't you thankful for the avenue of prayer? Just to be able to talk to the one we get to talk to. Let's thank him for that right here at the beginning. Everybody, would you join together? Join us. Those of you online, join us. We're thanking you, Lord. We're thanking you just for the avenue and the channel and the approach of prayer. Thank you for it, God. Thank you that we can talk directly to you. Thank you, O Lord. And then along with that, as the psalmist said, you answer us and you hear us. And so we give you a sincere thanksgiving this morning for the avenue of prayer in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. The definitions of prayer tell us why we pray and why we need to pray. Here's the definition in simple terms. Prayer is about relationship. Our prayer is relationship with God. In other words, talking with him, not filling up just a time slot of 15 or 5 or 10 or 30 minutes. It's an opportunity more than it is an obligation. Prayer is all about relationship. And because it is about relationship, it's more than just a discipline, but it is so much more. Because of all of this, our mindset should be, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to pray no matter what. I'm going to be determined. When prayer is called, I'm going to pray. Or when it's not called for, I'm going to pray. If you feel like it or not, pray. Jesus knew this tension that would be in the human mind and in our lifestyle, and he addressed it when he talked to his disciples about their prayerlessness, and he said, the spirit will always be willing. But it's the other half of that. But the flesh will always be weak. There will be times that we won't feel like praying. There will be times when there will be things that come up that would try to hinder us, but we're going to pray no matter what. And I will say this today, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where you pray, God is going to hear every time and every line and every word that you pray. Don't fall prey to the deception of, well, if I don't feel like it, what good would it do? The smallest prayer with the slightest faith will be heard and will work. I'm tired of the enemy using that on me and others if I don't feel like it. Here's what I know. The smallest prayer that was prayed in here today was heard in heaven. The prayer with the slightest faith. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I felt like I needed to mount up or gather up or dig down and get more faith. And there's nothing wrong with getting or wanting more faith. But do not let that bar you or hinder you or gate you out of praying. You go ahead and pray if it's with the smallest grain of mustard seed that you have. Go ahead and pray. The reason the enemy works on us about prayer is because he knows it works. But it's not always the enemy that works on us. It's just our own mindset and our own flesh that fights against it. And that's when we take that attitude, I am going to pray no matter what. When you look through Scripture, consider with me, if you would, how seriously God looks at prayer, and scripture writers and scriptural characters viewed their prayer. We have the text where Jesus said we ought always to pray. He said in another place recorded by Luke, watch ye therefore and pray always, so that you can be accounted worthy to escape all of those things that are coming at the end of the age, and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. You know what? That one right there just kind of pushes us to prayer. Pray so that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. Son, pray so that one day we will make it, as we say. Pray that we will be able to escape many of those things that are coming. Then Paul writes, he said, continue instant in prayer. Pay close attention to prayer. Keep it at the front burner of your mind. Continue in prayer. Paul said in another place, pray without ceasing. And then just to look at the book of Acts, which we are a part of, there are more prayers in the book of Acts than there are miracles in the book of Acts. And the reason miracles were happening is because of the prayers of the church of the living God. Peter was released from prison because a church was gathered together and praying. Prayer does a lot of good. Prayer is not necessary because it's a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual discipline, but that's not the only reason that prayer is necessary. It's not necessary only because it is a spiritual practice. It's not necessary because it's expected by God and expected by the scriptures and expected to show up in a Christian life or expected by a leader or because there's a prayer meeting. But prayer is a necessity because of relationship. It keeps us in close relationship with God. It keeps us in communication with God. It keeps us speaking to Him and hearing from Him. And the more we pray, the more easily we will recognize the voice of God. And don't we need the voice of God in this day? Don't we need His direction in our families, in our personal lives, in the church? We need to hear from God. I believe in reading books. I believe in educating ourselves. I believe in informing ourselves. But I tell you, the best source is the source of prayer. And after we've read all of that, and I'm going to read them, and you're probably going to read them, and after I gather as much material or listen to mentors and listen to voices of men and women in my life, when it's all said and done, I still need to be in communication with Him. We still need to hear from Him. I need to hear from Him. We need to hear from the Lord. And He's ready to speak. He's willing to speak. When we pray, it keeps us informed about His wishes and His will and His ways. There are some times when we would be able to erase the question mark behind a decision and put an exclamation point there because we have prayed. And you know, it's not about, okay, I prayed 5 days or 5 minutes or 5 hours, and so now I get 5 great answers or be able to make 5 great decisions. No, it's about relationship. It's about conversing and communing, and we feel comfortable enough to hear from God. And then He feels comfortable enough that we are listening. Because prayer is listening also. It's not only our voice, but it is God's voice. And our text that we read in Luke 18 tells us that prayer is a necessity to keep us from spiritually fainting. He said we ought to pray and not to faint. That word means to be afraid. That word means to become discouraged. And as I went through this definition checklist, I thought, well, when I have faced that kind of a situation, prayer would have taken care of that when I was discouraged. It means to keep from being wearied or tired, to despair or to lose heart. If there was ever a year, if there were ever circumstances, I text with Brother Gleason some this morning, and we were talking about our schedule and talking about what has happened with COVID. And he made the remark, he said, you know, we're on two services also. He said, that's tough on an old pastor. But we were talking about those who had been taken, and specifically Brother Holman just recently. And he said, you know, I'm just getting mad. And, you know, we've probably all had feelings about that. Our family didn't want to lose Roy. The Holman family certainly wasn't prepared to lose Brother Bob Holman. And then there are scores of others. There are scores of others that have been lost. And so it's very easy to lose heart and almost feel like, what is the use? And Becky and I were talking about it the other night when we got the call from Bob, and she made the statement, when is it going to end? When is it going to end? And so we do feel that despair because we are humans. But then she quickly added on, but we can trust God. Look, trusting God doesn't mean that we feel like everything's all right around us. But trusting God says, I'm going to trust Him when nothing is going right or when everything around me is going wrong. David said, I'm going to cry aloud and He's going to save me. God saved us through 2020. If you would have told all of us in March, our last year on the first Sunday of the year, January 5th, if you would have told all of us the things that were going to happen, it would have scared us plumb to death. I mean, I'd have been going home and needing her to settle me down. I guess I'm a chicken in some ways. We were on that cruise, the Hawaiian cruise, and getting ready to wrap it up several years ago, and that tsunami hit down there in Chile, and so that tsunami was headed toward Hawaii. And we got a call in the middle of the night, and all I could see was this big wave of water coming over that ship, and I've got a little bit of a fear of water, too much of a fear of water, but I got it. I'm trying to get over it. But I'm going to tell you, I'll admit to it, I went to pieces. Now, I wasn't bawling and squalling, but I was on my knees. And I don't know if I was faithing and praying or if I was just down there because I was scared. I was trying to utter prayer words. And she reached over and she said, babe, just settle down, settle down. You know, what I didn't know, one of the safest places to be in a tsunami is on the ocean. Not at the seashore, but on the ocean, because it rolls along the ocean bed. And the water that is so deep on top of that ocean bed just serves as a pillow or a mattress and suppresses. And so all that you see almost is just a little ripple of a wave. But I didn't know that then. I found that out later, after I'd done all the worrying. And there's some things that you and I don't know, and some things that you are facing. And there are times when all we see is a tidal wave engulfing the ship of our life. But there's something in the Word of God. There's a truth in the Word of God. There's a power in the hand of God. There's a power that comes to us from God through prayer. And all it's going to be, I feel this prophecy right here, all it's going to be is just a little ripple. Enough for you to say, yes, I rode over and I rode out the tidal wave and the tsunami, but it was by the help of God. Would you say that with me? By the help of God. Would you say it again? Let me hear you. By the help of God. Would you praise Him right now for His help? Lord, I thank You for Your help. I thank You, Lord, that when we pray, You will help us. You will save us. Oh, God. When we're weak, I feel like there's a little more praise there. Not because I want it, but I heard it keep bubbling right there. Let's go ahead and thank Him for hearing us right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let it go out of your heart. Let it go out of... You prayed some serious prayers this year. God's helped you through that situation. Answered them. Some of us even ought to be on our feet. At least our prayer and our praise ought to be standing up within us. That's right. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. It will help us. It will help us to keep from fainting and despairing and losing heart. The psalmist said in 86 and verse 7, in the day of my trouble. He owned it. My trouble. I don't think he was bragging about it. I think he was being honest about it, don't you? Because there's sometimes that it is my trouble. Brother Spall, you're going through something else, but at that moment I'm going through. And the same with you. There's times when it's your trouble. Time when it's my trouble. And the writer owned it. But he said, even though it's my trouble, I know I've got a my God. I will call upon you, O Lord. I will call upon you. I will call upon you, and you are going to answer me. These are some of the reasons that prayer is so essential. We've heard that word a whole lot in 2020. We need to look at prayer as essential. I want you to preach this with me. I can preach it by myself if I need to, but I need you to preach it with me. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is essential. Woo! I'm glad we've been able to gather together. I'm glad that somebody saw church as essential. Other states haven't seen it that way. But prayer is essential. It's a major part of our relationship with God. If we do not consider it an essential and a must, there will be countless reasons why it can't be done. Our mindset will determine how much we can pray. Doesn't it seem like just it'll get in your way? Something will get in your way. There will be some reason that we can lay down that, okay, I'm just not going to do that today. I'm not going to pray today. But if we consider it a must, that won't take away all of the reasons, but it'll take away a whole lot of the reasons to say, you know what? I'm praying. Eating is essential. Now, next week we're going to fast. So I'll talk about food now. During one of our fasts on a Tuesday morning prayer meeting down at the old church, I was teaching on the Word of God, and I was using all the analogies, milk and bread and all those things. And Brother George Vassell was in the prayer meeting. He just finally hollered out right in the middle of my teaching. He said, Pastor, would you quit talking about food? We're fasting. Eating is essential. I consider it a must, except on fast days. That's why I've eaten when I was in a hospital. I wasn't sitting at our nice kitchen table. I've eaten outside. I've eaten and had to swat away flies. But when you consider it a must, and when you consider it essential, you just move away and swat away and say, I'm going to prayer this morning. I'm going to prayer on my break time. I'm going to prayer tonight. It's an essential, it's a must. And the harder it is to find time with the Lord, the more it is that we need that time with Him. Prayer is essential. It's important for the spiritual to pray. It's important for the carnal to pray. It's important for those who are gifted and experienced to pray. It's important for our elders. Hear me. It's important for our elders, for our youth, for our young marriage, for our middle-aged marriage, for every single. It's important for everybody, every member of the body. It's essential. You know what? One of the reasons it's essential is because of the days that we are living in. It challenges our spirituality. It challenges us. We didn't want, Jesus didn't want the temptations when he went into the wilderness praying and fasting. But they came anyway. That lets you know right there, the greatest intentions of prayer and the greatest experiences of fasting, the devil still shows up. Even when we made up our mind, I'm going to pray. In fact, he may show up all the more. But the reason we pray, and we've been doing quarterly prayer and fasting that we're going to do next week. We've been doing it for years. We're not going to keep doing it because we've been doing it for years. We're going to keep doing it because we have always needed it. We will always need it. And in this day and time, we're not going to be able to fake it spiritually. You know, when a person lacks prayer and faithfulness and holiness and all of those things, it looks like it doesn't make that much difference. My life isn't all that much different, and things have continued to go on, but it does make a difference. Because in that prayer time is where we gain strength. And instead of remaining the same, even if everything doesn't go awry, and even if tragedies do not hit us, and even if difficulties do not come, and we're still lacking in those areas, it fools us and it deceives us. But all along, we could have been gaining additional strength to face the time that we are in or anything that may be in the future. Today, prayer is an essential. It is a necessity, but it is also a privilege of prayer. But tell you, when you get to looking at Scripture, it's a privilege of power. Prayer is a privilege of power. Whew. Just to think that you or I could call on God, and in a moment, he could take away a tumor in somebody's body. Woo! And you've done this, you've prayed, and you went in before the boss or there in the workplace or whatever, or wherever it was, and God turned that situation all around. And we prayed about an insurance matter, or we prayed about a financial matter, or we prayed about this or that. Whew. Just about every time I would come in this driveway over the past several months, once we found out that the property across the way was for sale, just about every day, I tried to do it every day, I just prayed, God, we want your will about before we ever knew. And God answered that prayer. And he gave us that additional property that is opening up so many other doors for us. But then what has happened since that, because of the giving of God's people, we were able to just pay cash. But in days since we paid for that property, we have almost recouped every dollar that we paid for that property. Woo! Praying to God works because God works. I'm talking about a privilege of power. I don't think that would have turned out if I wasn't the only one praying. There were a whole lot of people that were praying. I don't believe that would have turned out as well as it did. Took it down last week. We're expecting there to be asbestos in that old house. The asbestos report came back. None. That cost thousands of dollars to get that removed. There wasn't any in there. Praise God. If there was, God healed it. I'm not saying he did that. I don't know. Maybe I should. My middle name's Thomas. There's doubt that creeps in every once in a while. The privilege of power. You have it, and 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 you have it. Every one of us and every one of you watching, you've got it. A privilege of power that you pray and God takes care of the situation. And here's what prayer does. When we do not get the answer that we wanted or we needed, because prayer is a relationship, and we love and we trust the one we're talking to, and when he doesn't give us the answer like we thought he was going to give us, we know for sure, God, you have seen something that we did not see. And you're giving me what is best for me. I'm going to tell you, personal journey recently, we prayed, hundreds were praying for Roy's healing. This lady's faith put me in the dust about prayer. But he didn't get his healing. He didn't survive. But all that I know is God is in control. And here's what I found out through this past year and through things like that. It's one thing to say God's in control. It's the second part of yielding to that control. Because sometimes he moves the pieces and he rearranges the furniture to where I did not expect it to look that way. Prayer is a privilege of power. Elisha prayed. Now, I just need to ask this. I guess it's rhetorical or it's preacher lingo or whatever you want to call it. But I'm making a point. We believe this, don't we? The stories in here and the promises, right? Okay, I set you up. Elijah prayed, and fire fell. I'm telling you, prayer is a privilege of power. And when you need the fire to fall, when you're praying, the fire is going to fall. Now, I've never seen this happen, but I believe it happened then, and I believe if God ordered it, and it was the right context, and it was the will of God, that any one of us could pray and fire. That wasn't for drama there. Elijah said, so that these people will know that you are the Lord God. We want answers to our prayers, not only so that somebody won't be sick and somebody will be well, but we want them so people will know the Lord is God. Let's pray our prayers in that context. God, I want your answer here, and your power is, you are able to demonstrate so that people will know. When we pray, we're not praying to show off how much faith or how we can pray. But when that coworker comes to you, go ahead and pray. And whatever needs to fall is going to fall. For Elijah, it was fire. But for Joshua, it was walls that separated them from victory. But prayer works. God works. Elisha prayed. Now just get this. Just get this. The next time you're near a river, picture Elisha at the river and the waters of Jordan roll back at the voice of faith. A child is restored to life. Hannah, barren, childless Hannah, prays. And Samuel is born. Prayer is a privilege of power. Woo! He has put it in your hand. Oh my goodness. Woo! You hold it. You hold it in your heart. You hold it in your faith. You hold it in your life. The privilege of power as you talk to God. Isaiah prayed and won. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers are slain in a moment. If God can do that, he can take care of one enemy. He can take care of three enemies. He can take care of five detractors from your life. God can do it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. I will tell you, pulling down by that river, it'll get real then. Now, do I believe that I could speak and take my jacket off and strike those waters and that Mississippi would roll back? I'm smiling, if not on the outside, on the inside, and I see a whole lot of you smirking and smiling, dude. Not because you doubt, We don't always face situations like that. And this world is challenging our faith, and it never has. But this is an old truth for a new year. You know what? I don't think I'll do it, but I could preach this very same message the first Sunday of next year. It'd be just as true, wouldn't it? Don't give me any ideas. Okay. Powerful. Powerful. You know, a lot of times we think about how heaven, and I've talked about some of them, heaven interrupts earth. But when the prayers of the saints were offered up in the book of Revelation, and that angel took that censer that had the prayers of the saints in them, the Bible says there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. What did that? Prayer stopped the activity of heaven. Heaven can interrupt earth, but through prayer, I'm going to tell you, you talk about a privilege of power. Stopping heaven cold. Hallelujah. And then when they did pour out that censer, stuff started happening on the earth. Earthquakes, rumbles of thunder. Here's what I'm talking about. Powerful responses from God are going to come because you pray. Hear me, everybody. Listen to me just right now. I'm going to talk this directly to you. Powerful responses from heaven are going to come. Just, you already know this. You already believe that. But I want you to raise the level of your faith right now to the best of your ability. Raise that level of faith. Powerful thing. Lightning, earthquakes, all of that happened because the prayers of the saints of God had been loosed and unleashed. Prayer is a great privilege of power. And it matters. God listens. God listens. I love the story of Abraham where he is bargaining about Sodom. An intercessor. From 50 down to 10. That took some brashness on his part. We need some brash and bold, dangerous prayers. When you pray for your loved one and they go farther away, keep interceding. Okay, God, I prayed and they've done this. Just go ahead and bargain with God. Go ahead. Because God's serious about it. He knows you're serious about it. Lord, if I can't get them to church, help them to just listen to me when I talk about how you answered prayer or testimony. Or if they won't listen to that, God, help them to kind of maybe listen to a song that has the message. You know, for God to begin to work, they don't have to be on their knees or at an altar. Now, that's where we want them to end up. But we can't give up at 50 or 40. We can't give up at 30 or 20. Keep asking. Shameless, persistent prayer, because you have in your hands the privilege of the power of prayer. Would you stand together with us, please? I'm going to ask those of you that are joining us online, if you can stand, do that. And if you can, it's fine. There's a call, another call from God. I believe it's strategic. I started on another message for today. It's going to tailor it along the lines of our theme for this year. But I sensed a change from God, and I believe he's being strategic and making another call here at the beginning of this year. And what I just said a few minutes ago about 2020 and at the beginning of 2020 on that first Sunday. We don't know. Some of us have a few guesses about the way things may look governmentally, socially, civilly. We don't know. But we do know the one that is in control. And we are just going to keep praying. Keep bombarding heaven. keep being faithful to God, whether it's on our knees or wherever your prayer place and your prayer time or your prayer approach is, to continue to believe and trust God. There's a call for prayer. He said, if my people, God never forces us to pray. No leader can force us to pray. No family member can force us to pray. It's an invitation. If my people, if you're willing to pray and go into deeper relationship with God. I'm asking every eye to be closed right now, and I want you just to lift up hands of surrender right now if you are willing. He said, if my people, I feel the Lord beseeching us, if my people, yes, God, we're going to respond. Oh, we're going to respond. We're going to respond. Oh, yes, we're going to respond. We're going to respond, Lord. Yes. We will draw closer to you. We will listen for your voice. We will pray. Don't be afraid to make a commitment. You say, well, what if I don't? You won't if you don't make the commitment. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start in our desire and our determination. Yes. God, you haven't made it difficult, God. You haven't made it difficult, Lord. Oh, you haven't made it difficult, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. That's it. We commit, Lord. We commit. That's it. Keep committing to the Lord right now. It don't have to be fancy words now or any time in this prayer commitment that you're going to live that when you live it out. It doesn't have to be fancy prayer. It doesn't have to be at any particular time. No. No particular place. Your place. Your time. Hallelujah. Yes. Do it, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, that was a deep cry right there, and I believe that was God beseeching us right there. He was beseeching. We might use the word begging. Would you just stay focused for another short while and just focus on your relationship with God? Think about how you can enhance that or engage that even in a greater way. That's right. Lord, we want you. We want you, Lord. Yes, we sang it a while ago, but we meant it and we mean it now. We want you. We want you. We want you, Jesus. Oh, you're beseeching us, God. You're beseeching us. Told his disciples, can you not tarry just a little bit here, just a little bit. God, you're working. We're thanking you, Lord. We're thanking you, Jesus. That's it. Consider your relationship. Yes, consider me. Thank you. mind just stepping down here? I didn't ask you before, but I heard the request for Lindsay's procedure. Would you mind just stepping down here? And we're being very careful about this, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. But I do sense. Your hands toward her, toward this request, Lindsay. Yeah, the boy, you can tell us, the Tony and the Lohi to Moha, Toro Mose Cada, Toga Yake, Sikara Moya, the Mosana, Tata, 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 the power of your strength. Oh, Lord, Jesus. If you have a need, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in just a moment. If you have a need, that tells us at least this: you must be human. Because it's very human to have needs. And I'm going to ask us to look around. Because somebody's need is worth looking to. And I said that about being human with a need, because sometimes we feel a little hesitant or embarrassed. Maybe, but where else can we go, folks? And we need one another. We need one. So what I'll do in a moment, a few seconds, I'll ask you to lift your hand, and then if you just keep it up there, then I want us to look around, and please do. And you can get one or two or as many as you feel to cover. But I want us to go far and wide in this congregation of covering one another in prayer. And even if you've got your hand lifted, that doesn't eliminate you from being able to pray for somebody else. Because it could well happen in your need while you're praying for somebody else's need. So would you, if you have a need, just lift it before the Lord. Just leave it there if you would. And if you can, I want you to look around, folks. Look around. And as we start praying, I want you to lift that other hand as a hand of praise to the Lord. Or if you haven't had your hand lifted up, you can lift both of them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's pray. Lord, in your name, God, for them, Jesus, for them, Lord. You've given us this privilege of power. You've given it, you've laid it in our hands. Fire can fall, life can be restored, children can be restored. You restored a king, you gave him more years, God. Yes, you opened the door of a prison. You did. You shook the foundations of a prison. I pray for the shaking of whatever is incarcerating people spiritually. Anything that is binding them and holding them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the God that we pray to. Jesus' name. Jesus. Yes. Yes, you are, God. You're going to answer. When we cry aloud, you're going to save us. Yes, that's it. Pray. No matter how desperate it looks, pray it. Don't give up. Keep bartering. I pray 50 days. Pray 40. Go ahead. Keep on going. Church, you're engaged in the Spirit. Follow the Holy Ghost right now. Humble care. Go ahead, go ahead. All I ask for this day is for your yielding. Just your submission and your yielding and letting go. And you have thought about all the things that could occur if you yielded. The what ifs and some when. When will it occur? I invite you, leave those questions to me. All I am asking for right now is you to say, yes, Lord, and to yield to me. I will take that yes, and then I will also take care of everything after your yes, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, you make it so easy, God. You make it so easy. We don't have to figure it out. I just say yes. I just say yes. I just say yes. Hallelujah. He heard your prayer today. Luke's pa, I saw you over there with your hand lifted. God heard your prayers. God heard them. Bottles them up. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I didn't pray that just right. Or I wish I would have said this or that. I just got a feeling a whole lot of that doesn't matter to God. How good I can say it or pray it. He just said, give me your yes. Give me your yes. And he's going to do what we can't do. Brother Brad's going to come and close this service today. God bless you for your faithfulness.
Pastor mentioned a moment ago when we pray that thunder and lightning, things can happen across the earth. While he mentioned that, the omens came to my heart and my mind. I don't expect God could do it, obviously. I don't know if they need thunder or lightning at this moment, but just feel like if we pray now for the Homan family, that even if it's just the wind of his presence to come to our extended family members here at APC, that would be enough. And God knows what they need. I wonder if you just follow the Holy Ghost with me. Let's pray. Oh God. Exactly what they need in this moment. Sister Homan, Lord, and those kids and their grandbabies, spouses. You know what it is, whether it's the wind of your spirit or settling peace of God or the blanket of your presence, whatever it is. I believe right now as we're praying as a church that that power, that privilege of power is going and being enacted. It's going to where they are. It's going to cover them right there in this moment, and it's going to cover them tomorrow and the day after and the day beyond, Lord. We pray the peace of God and the blanket of your presence and the strength of God over that family, over each one of them, over the church there in St. Robert. In the name of Jesus, we believe that what we're doing today is powerful and that this truth remains, this truth of prayer. So we pray over them in the name of Jesus. Your name we pray.